Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Good morning, church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I thank you for the chance that we have to gather. Father, the chance that we have to come and bring you glory. And Father, also a chance to bring our burdens to you. Lord, we know that life is heavy and there's a whole lot going on. But Lord, we know that you love us, that you care for us. Lord, may we just surrender what we're holding on to this morning. May we give it to you. May we find peace in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go ahead and stand.
Light of the world, treasure of heaven, brilliant like the stars in the wintry sky. And the shadows to fly. Light up the world from the beginning. Tragedies of time were no match for your love. From great heights of glory, you saw my story. God, you entered in.
John 16 tells us, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered this world. You know, this week our community has experienced numerous death and loss. Everything including an eighth grader. And it's one of the most tragic moments that we have when life is cut short. And this is such a reminder of why we do My3 week in and week out. Because we know the only hope that we actually have in this life is Jesus. And our responsibility as believers, as followers of Christ, as people who proclaim to be Christians, is to share the good news with the world around us, to be that light in the world in the midst of its darkness. We don't always understand where others around us are at. Often it comes about when we least expect it. But we have a responsibility as believers to share that good news. And one of the ways that we can do that is by just praying for someone, lifting them up by name every day. This is why we do this, because we know the Lord hears our prayers. This is the starting part. The second part is to be the hands and feet and to be out there and represent Jesus to the world around us. So this morning, let's think of those three people in our lives that are struggling, that we may not even know what they're struggling with, and lift them up by name to Jesus. So let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we don't understand everything. We don't know everything. We don't know what the person next to us is walking through, the struggles that they're facing. Father, we don't know what our coworkers and our family and friends may be hiding behind that smile. But Lord, we know that you do. And Lord, we know that you love them, that you cherish them. And Father, that you made no mistake when you made them. Lord, it's at this moment that we hand them over to you to do a new work inside of their hearts and their lives. Father, that they may experience that peace that comes through you and you alone. That they may remember that they have been purchased for a price. And that you care for them. May we be that light in this world. Lord, we lift them up by name at this time. Father, give them a new heart. And may we be ready to share the good news of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So no matter what we are going through, we call on Jesus' name. And we actually can just praise his name no matter what. Whether we're in our highest mountain or lowest lows, we can sing a hallelujah to him. And that's what this is all about. Come on, sing it out with me. I raise a hallelujah.
Louder and louder, you're gonna hear. voice commands all the host of heaven. Who else can make every king bow down? Who else can whisper in darkness trembles? Only
time after time.
of the great things about being a church attender and a person of faith is we have a rich heritage. And that heritage includes that great book that's in your front of you on your, those pews. If you didn't know this, these are called hymnals. And back in the day, hymns were all they had. And so this morning we're going to sing one of the great hymns called In the Garden.
Here this morning, including our guests that are joining us. And for those of you joining us online and the radio, we are thankful for each of you as well. But before we go into God's word this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, I just ask for your presence to be known here. Father, I ask that it's your words that are spoken this morning and not my own. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we pray that it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. Father, we know you are the one that transforms the hearts and the minds of the people. And Lord, we know that you can do a new work in each of us. May we get out of our own way and hear what you have for us to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be diving back into our series called The Returning King. It's a mini-series that we kicked off in the middle of our Life of Christ series. And it's here that we see Jesus talking about his second coming. And throughout this series, I want us to remember this particular phrase. And it's simply, in uncertain days, faithful disciples live watchfully, serve diligently, and remain ready for the return of the King. You know, most people live their entire lives as if tomorrow is guaranteed. What do? We plan vacations and trips that we've got coming up. We plan for our retirement and we start wondering what are our golden years going to look like. We sit down and we make plans and goals for next week, next month, next year. You know, and you go in for a job interview, what is one of those common questions that you get asked all the time? It's simply, what are you going to be doing? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? It's always about planning. We make plans for our meetings, plans for conversations that we're going to have. We plan, and we plan. And we live our lives as if tomorrow is guaranteed. But in our passage this morning, which can be found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 19 through 44, for anyone that wants to follow along, we see Jesus speaking about a moment that will interrupt all of human history. And that moment is not going to happen quietly. This moment is not going to happen symbolically. This isn't going to happen in secret. Instead, the moment that Jesus is talking about is his return. And it's going to be visible where the whole world gets to see it. And it's going to be glorious for each of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior in that moment. You know, ever since the time of the disciples, people have been trying to predict when Jesus will come back. In fact, most recently, there was a man that predicted that Jesus would return in the fall of 2025. Well, as you can see, we're still here. He hasn't come back. But he has since updated it. It's now going to be in 2032, so we have a few more years, okay? But again, these predictions are nothing new. People have been trying to predict when Jesus is coming back throughout the centuries, often claiming that they've gotten some kind of special revelation from God that no one else has ever received, or they've decoded some piece of scripture that nobody else has ever noticed before, or they speculate timelines and that they think are inside of the Bible. But this morning, when we turn over to our passage, we see Jesus kind of debunking that. We see him shifting the focus away from predicting his return and turning it towards preparation for his return, reminding us that the question is not, can you figure it out? Can you figure out when Jesus is coming back? The real question is, are you ready if Jesus returns today? That's the question. Are you ready if Jesus returns today? So let's flip over to our passage this morning and start to dig in. Remember that last week, Jesus described the Great Tribulation, the difficulties that lay ahead, and then we get to this morning, and he starts talking about his return. He says in verse 29 through 31, he says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not shed its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all of the people of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. It's here that we see Jesus talking about his return and going back to that question from week one where the disciples asked Jesus, what will the signs of your second coming be? How will we know that the time has arrived? It's a question that, if we're honest, we've all asked at some point in our faith walk. When is Jesus coming back? And we'd all like that answer. If we knew exactly when, we'd be pretty happy. And Jesus opens up our passage this morning with the words, immediately after the distress of those days. Jesus is talking about right after the great tribulation that he described in our passage last week. It's here that we see Jesus beginning to describe the cosmic disturbances that will happen in that moment. The sun will be darkened. The moon will no longer give off light. The stars will begin falling from the skies, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. This here we see Jesus using prophetic language announcing his divine intervention and judgment that is coming. This is Jesus describing God intervening decisively in human history. This is Jesus saying that creation itself will testify that the King is coming. And for those of us who are in Christ, we should actually find some peace inside of these words. This should not bring about fear within us. We need to remember just last week, Jesus talked about the great tribulation that would occur before this. He talked about the persecution and the natural disasters that would cause great sorrow in this world. But here he's telling us, when we see these things, the return of Christ is imminent. You know, as humans, we often feel secure when our governments appear powerful, right? When our economies are stable, when technology continues to advance, and we start to assume that life will continue uninterrupted. But Jesus says there's a day coming where the entire created order will tremble before him. The same Jesus that calmed the storms with just his voice will one day shake the heavens and the earth with his arrival. And then we come to the central moment in this passage where it said, then signs of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. I want to remind you this morning that our faith is rooted in the literal risen Savior and his returning Savior as well. That he is coming back. And we know that after Jesus arose from the grave and that he ascended bodily into heaven, then in Acts, the angels told the disciples that Jesus would come back the same way they saw him going into heaven. So that when we talk about the return of Christ, we're not using symbolic language inside of this moment by any means. Instead, we're talking about the personal return of Jesus himself, the one who walked the roads of Galilee, the one who touched the lepers and wept at Lazarus' tomb, the one who carried the cross and arose from the grave. That same Jesus is coming again. And our entire faith is centered on the fact that we have a living King, not somebody buried in a tomb somewhere. And his return is going to be unmistakable. You know, it told us inside of verse 30 that they will see the Son of Man coming. If you remember from last week, what did Jesus say in verse 27? He said, For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. What Jesus is talking about is that when he comes, it's going to be a visible event. The entire world is going to know that he has come back. So when Jesus comes back, it's not going to be hidden. It's not going to be a secret. It's not even going to be confined to one location. Instead, what Jesus is saying is that the entire world will know that he is back in that moment. He's not going to need a social media campaign to announce his return. He's not going to make a post saying, hey guys, I'm on the Temple Mount, come and meet up. It's going to be none of that. You're not going to have to wonder if Jesus is back. Everyone will know, because every eye will see, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord in that moment. And for those of us who are believers, there is hope in this. This is to be a joyful moment when we see him come back. But for those who are unbelievers, this is going to be a moment of terror and trembling. You know, the first time that Jesus came, he came with humility and he came humbly. He was born into poverty. He was laid in a manger. He was rejected by many, and ultimately he was crucified as if he was a criminal. Much of the world, when they look on Jesus, they saw weakness. But when Jesus comes the second time, there's going to be no misunderstanding. Jesus said at the end of verse 30 that he is coming with power and glory. He is coming as a judge and a king and a victorious Lord, and we can count on that. The suffering Savior will return as the risen, reigning Christ. The crown of thorns will be replaced with eternal glory. The one mocked by soldiers will be worshipped by nations. The one condemned by earthly courts will be judged over everything. That is who we're looking for on coming back. You know, there are so many people in our world today that treat Jesus casually, where there are people who just ignore that he's around and go, you know what, I don't want to even give that a second thought. There's other people out there that will mock Jesus and everything that he's done. And some of you here today may be in that space where you're delaying on responding to him, but there is coming a day where the entire world will see exactly for who he is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The question is not whether Christ will return. The question is, are we ready for when he does? Now, none of us know the day or the hour of his return, but it doesn't mean that we should live in ignorance. Jesus said in 32 to 35, he said, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branches become tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all of these things, recognize that he is near at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Jesus begins this section of passage with this illustration of a fig tree. You know, the leaves begin to appear. We recognize that a new season is approaching. The tree is given evidence that something is near and something is coming. And it's here that we see Jesus teaching us to live with spiritual awareness. I know sometimes as Christians, we can get into this Christian bubble, and in a certain point, we can even ignore the realities of the world around us. I know we've all been there to a certain point, but we need to make sure that we're recognizing the brokenness of creation around us, the rise of deception in the world around us, the instability of nations. You know, I feel like every day we hear of another war or a rumor of a war coming. There's things going on all around us. But each of these things remind us that history is moving somewhere, not always in the right direction, but it's moving. The world is not on this endless cycle through the universe. Instead, it's moving towards the return of Jesus. So as Christians, we should not just live in this bubble that can actually cause us to live as if we're asleep spiritually, but we should live alert, watchfully, and with expectation of his return. Because none of us know, we just know to be ready. And after Jesus told this parable, he moves into one of the clearest statements in all of Scripture regarding his second coming. He says in verse 36, now concerning the day or the hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, except the Father alone. You know, when somebody comes to you and tells you that they know exactly when Jesus is coming back, I want you to throw this verse at them. It's always fun. I've done it. It's fun to watch them scramble because they can't answer it. Because it's here that Jesus is reminding us that there's an intentional limit of the knowledge that he's given us about this. Because if you notice, Jesus makes it clear that none of us know. No one inside of humanity knows when Jesus is coming back. Not even the angels, only God the Father. So if the angels are not given a timeline, how can we as humans figure it out? This is why so many people go wrong. Instead of accepting the mysteries that God has placed, people try to force certainties. They try to calculate the dates. They try to decode current events. They often treat headlines as prophecy charts. And some even claim some kind of secret insight or revelation. But here we see Jesus is not encouraging speculation. Instead, he shuts the door on it in a very clear manner. You know, every generation has some people convinced that they finally figured it out. They figured out the hour and the day. And every generation has got it wrong. You know, there's a difference between the anticipation of the return of Christ and being obsessed with it. There are people in our world who become so consumed with prophecy and speculation and putting together timelines and charts that they begin to neglect the very things that Jesus commanded of his followers. You know, they know their timelines that they believe, but they neglect the holiness and living a life of holiness. They debate the symbols and everything else, but they ignore obedience to Christ. They analyze every worldly event that occurs, but they fail to love their neighbor. You know, Jesus never said, "Blessed is the servant who correctly predicts the date of my return." No, what he says is, "Blessed is the servant whom the master finds doing his job when he comes." Our job as believers is not calculation, it is faithfulness. You know, we may wonder, why didn't God tell us the exact day? I mean, he has to know that we all would like to know. But I believe the reason that he didn't is because he knows uncertainty produces watchfulness and it produces faithfulness. You know, if people knew when Jesus was coming back, I want you to think about this for a minute. If you knew that Jesus was coming back in 50 years, how much would you delay following him? How many people would delay repenting and turning to him and allowing him to be Lord of their life? If you knew Jesus was going to come back in exactly 50 years, you'd be more apt to go, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing and I'm going to do that bedside confessional thing inside of that moment. But what if you knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow? How many of you would panic? But because we don't know the day or the hour, each of us, every generation, has to live ready for the return of Christ. The unknown timing keeps us dependent on Jesus. It keeps us humble and faithful. God has not revealed the calendar because he desires continual readiness within us, this reliance on him. And you may wonder, how do we live ready? And there's a way for us to live ready all the time. And it starts with daily repentance. A heart that is ready stays sensitive to sin. Not perfection, but this continual surrender to Jesus. And second, ready believers keep doing the ordinary work of discipleship. They keep praying, they keep serving and worshiping. Ready believers are believers who give, who love others, and share the gospel with the world around them. And then third, a ready believer remembers that this world is temporary. We remember the gifts that God has given us are not for our glory, but for his. And lastly, ready believers look at Christ's return not merely as an ending, but as the arrival of the King. This is how us as believers can stay ready for the return of Jesus, is to always live ready, because readiness matters. Jesus said in verse 37 and 38, he said, "As the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah boarded the ark." You know, here we see Jesus comparing his return, his second coming, to the days of Noah found in the book of Genesis. And what were people doing before the flood came? They were eating and drinking. They were getting married. In other words, what they were doing is they were living a normal life. They were just going through the motions. And I want to be clear, Jesus is not condemning ordinary activities. Eating meals, building families, having our daily routines, those can all be gifts from God himself. The problem when the flood came was not daily life. The problem was spiritual indifference, the rejection of God. People continue to live life as if judgment would never come, that God's warnings didn't matter, and life would continue forever unchanged. And even though Noah preached righteousness, calling people to repent and turn back to God, people ignored him. And then suddenly, the flood came. Jesus says in verse 39, he said, "They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way of the coming of the Son of Man will be." You know, the flood didn't gradually convince people to repent on their arrival. You know, the water didn't start coming down and the people were like, "Well, maybe we should get in the ark." It didn't come up to the neck and they go, "Oh boy." By the time the floodwaters came, it was too late. There was no turning back. Once judgment came, the opportunity to respond had passed. And it's going to be the same way when Jesus returns. There's no final countdown clock that we can watch. No last minute opportunity for repentance. When Jesus says in 40 and 41, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding grain with a handmill, one will be taken and one left. You know, on the outside, both of these men in our first passage and both of the women look the same. But internally, they were spiritually worlds apart. One was ready for the return of Christ and the other was not. And this is a great reminder for us. You know, we can attend church and we can hear sermons. We can grow up around Christians and know the Bible stories and still not be ready for the return of Jesus. Because being around spiritual things is not the same as belonging to Jesus himself. You know, Jesus says in verse 42, therefore, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. You know, readiness is a lifestyle. Readiness is not living in panic. Instead, it's a way of life. A ready believer doesn't just occasionally think about eternity. Instead, it shapes how we live our lives. Readiness means ongoing repentance, living in active faith, being obedient, loving Jesus, and staying faithful in the ordinary moments of life. Often the enemy of readiness is not hostility towards God. Instead, it is distractions. Many people do not reject Jesus outright, at least not within our culture. Instead, they simply are too preoccupied to seek him honestly, too occupied with everything else going on in life around them. And when we're not ready, we can find ourselves lost. So we need to be ready. Jesus tells us in verse 43 that, but know this, if the homeowner had known the time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken into. You know, the point of this verse is not that Jesus is like a thief morally. Instead, he's pointing out an unexpected timing. You know, we often prepare for different things in life when we know something could happen at any moment. If you knew a homeowner was coming to break into your house, would you not be prepared ahead of time? Maybe have 911 on standby, like he's going to be here any minute, come on, let's go. There'd be something going on that you would prepare for that thief. You would prepare for that encounter. In the same way, us as believers are called to live with a spiritual awareness every day that Jesus may come back. Not because we know when Jesus is coming back, but because we don't know when he's coming. So we're called to live a ready life, ready for the return every day. And that readiness begins with our salvation. Not with church attendance, not with religious knowledge, not just by being a good person, but a person who is prepared and has truly surrendered to Jesus. That is where it starts. And a person who has surrendered to Jesus and is ready pursues obedience consistently each and every day through prayer and worship, through holiness and generosity, through evangelism and forgiveness. Now, this doesn't mean that we do all of those things perfectly, but it does mean that we do it sincerely, that we constantly seek the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we start living this life of readiness, when we remember that Jesus is coming, we stop treating this world as if it's the end all, be all of everything. You know, success doesn't matter as much anymore. Possessions don't matter. Even the comforts of this life all lose that power and control over us when we look at the fact that we know that Jesus is coming back. And when we live that readiness inside of our lives, we stop worrying about things of this world and we start worrying about the kingdom of heaven and the return of the King. Because there's coming a day where history as we know it will stop. The kingdoms of this world will fall, and we will see Jesus coming on the clouds. The one who was born in Bethlehem, the one who walked the roads of Galilee, the one who was crucified and risen 3 days later will return in power and great glory. And when Jesus returns, this will not be a hidden event. We're not talking about a symbolic return. We're not talking about a secret or with uncertainties. Instead, we're talking about a moment where we will all see him. For some people, that day will be joy beyond words. But for others, it will be terror and regret. Jesus gave us his words to look at this morning, not to satisfy our curiosity, but to comfort our hearts. Because the greatest tragedy will not be the lack of information and knowledge, but the tragedy will be that people were unprepared for his return. Because so many people assume that they will always have more time. More time to repent, more time to obey, more time to get serious about God, but Jesus has repeatedly said, be ready. Not eventually, not someday, but today. Because tomorrow is never promised. Imagine if Jesus returned before our service ended today. What would matter in that moment? Would your plans for next week still matter? Would your unfinished goals matter? What about those distractions that consume so much of your time? Would you be ready to stand before him if he came back today? I want to challenge you today, if you have any unconfessed sin in your life, repent before you leave. If there's a delay in obedience, obey today. If you've never trusted Jesus, come to him today. That door of grace is still open right now, but it is fast coming to a close. And Jesus makes it clear that the day is coming, and it's going to come suddenly. He says in verse 44, this is why you are also to be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So the question is not, can you predict the day? The question is, are you prepared if today is that day? Because the King is coming, and the time to be ready is now. This morning, as the worship team comes back up here, before we go to prayer, I'm also going to invite our prayer partners. We have people up here. If there's something you've been struggling with, something that you haven't turned over, if you haven't accepted Jesus, whatever is going on in life, if you need someone to partner with you in prayer this morning, they will be here to pray with you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, I thank you for your words. I thank you for your encouragement. I thank you for your promises. I thank you that we can look to your Son coming back in the clouds full of glory and power. Lord, I know there's many here today who are struggling, who have things that they're holding on to, things they don't want to let go of. And Lord, I pray that you do a new work inside of each one of their hearts, that, Father, that you just pull on those heartstrings and that their minds and their lives can be transformed by you, that they no longer hold back today. Instead, they surrender it all. They give it all to you. Because, Lord, we know that you can make all things new. Lord, we thank you for that promises. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. throughout this week. May you search your hearts. May you search your minds. May you see the things that are distracting you from being a faithful follower of Jesus. May you see the things that are keeping you from living the life of readiness that he's called us to. God bless you guys. And if you need prayer, we have two prayer partners that's right up here, and they would love to pray with you for whatever.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.